we have to clear up some things. We occasionally have to do like fact checking on this show.
Am I getting? I didn't even know I was going to get fact checked.
Okay,
today.
So
shoot.
Apparently, last week when we were talking about Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, I already know.
First of all, this Big Trouble in Little China. This has been a polarizing topic for us on the podcast.
I've gotten some very angry texts this week. I wouldn't call it like harassment or something that I need to like notify people about, but they've been pretty. Yeah. They've been pretty bold.
Here's what I'm saying to you.
Brad Warren. Charlie Job.
Did Brad at you on the Big Trouble?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So I didn't know about that one. But it's been polarizing because our friend Kristen Livesey said that she was like, "You're wrong. Big Trouble in Little China sucks."
Let's go, Critty.
And here,
Silver Singles.
She did. Kristen did get another email from Silver Singles. So that shows what she knows. But yeah, people were really like really up or down about Big Trouble in Little China. Like either you love it or hate it. But also apparently, which I didn't remember this, but apparently during the conversation about Big Trouble, you said RIP Kurt Russell, and Charlie Job texted us and was like, "Dude, Kurt Russell's not dead."
Honestly, I still don't know the difference between the two of these people who are about to say. I can't. And I would consider myself like a pop culture. Like, I feel like I'm pretty
savant.
I'm pretty good at it. Like,
you know what's up.
Yeah, I watched a lot of E when I was younger. Like, I was like,
well, you did?
Yeah, yeah. I blame it on my sisters, but I think secretly I just loved it.
Can we talk about all the shows that you would quote unquote blame on your sisters that you really kind of low key actually loved?
Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Khloe and Lamar,
John and Kate Plus Eight,
Little People Big World, just anything TLC or E I have watched at some point. My friend Cameron and I used to just text our way through the Kardashians every week. We had like live text each other.
It feels like texting our way through the Kardashians could be like a follow-up series to that series.
It needs to be another podcast that we do.
Kind of like Gilmore Guys.
Is that a thing?
That's a thing.
I never watched the Gilmore. In fact, I couldn't stand the Gilmore Girls, which that's polarizing.
Out on the Gilmore Girls as well.
They used to. They loved, and I think it was all because I wanted to watch TV for myself. But they would always watch Dawson's Creek or Gilmore Girls, and I couldn't watch the TV.
Their sisters?
Therefore, I didn't like those shows because they just had the TV. I've never given either of them a fair chance. This is me trying to defend myself.
So, it turns out that Thomas, when I was talking about Kurt Russell from Big Trouble in Little China, who also played Peter Quill's dad in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, that in Thomas's mind, he was thinking Burt Reynolds.
Burt, Kurt, Russ, Ren. I mean, they're pretty close. Which one's the one in The Longest Yard? I still don't know.
So he was thinking Burt Reynolds, who has sadly passed. And so he said, RIP Kurt Russell. But he was thinking Burt Reynolds, which, like, one of my favorite things ever is when Norm MacDonald played Burt Reynolds on Saturday Night Live in the Celebrity Jeopardy. Mm. And all of
that
a sudden,
wasn't Burt Reynolds. That was Norm MacDonald. I honestly thought that was when Charlie sent us that gif. When you sent that gif, I thought that's who that was.
Dude, Charlie sent it. But yeah, that was Norm MacDonald playing Burt Reynolds. And it turned out that all of a sudden, Will Ferrell, who was playing Alex Trebek, said, "And Burt Reynolds has changed his name to Turd Ferguson."
That's right. That's such a good skit.
It's great.
I watched, like, Adam Sandler hosted SNL this past week.
Yeah.
And I don't really watch SNL very much. But I was also texting with Cam, the same guy who I texted the Kardashians about this episode of Saturday Night Live. Because he sent me the skit. It was the one I was watching the other day when you walked in. And it was a skit with Adam Sandler at a family reunion. And every family member was a character from one of his movies.
Yeah.
And it just showed where he got all of his inspiration from.
Where he got all his characters.
I thought it was brilliant. And Cam texted me and was like, "This is making me emotional."
Wow.
Because it just reminded me of all of our favorite movies. Because I think his little run of movies there in the late 90s.
Tell me this.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he had a good run. Tell me this. If you were going to create a skit character out of somebody in your family, inspired by somebody in your family, who would it be?
Oh, gosh. I don't know if it's appropriate to say either.
They don't listen to the show.
No, not because they may listen, but just because, I don't know, like, do you do your uncle who's wears, like, gloves all the time?
What?
Because he does.
Why does he wear gloves all the time?
Like, his everyday outfit is, like, a black vest with a t-shirt underneath, cargo shorts, Nike Cortezes, and, like, gloves with padded knuckles.
Just in case?
I guess. I don't know.
Just in case it's going to go down?
Yeah, or my aunt, who looks like Paul McCartney. I don't know. Which one do you do a character of? Like, it's the Paul McCartney from the early 90s where he had a mullet.
Yeah. The ebony and ivory Paul McCartney.
Exactly. That is... Yo.
Oh my gosh, that is so fun.
Isn't that nuts?
Welcome to Ancient New, everybody.
Just a dead butterfly.
It's a Bible study podcast where we kind of talk to you about some things that have been encouraging us in the scriptures or have been challenging us in the scriptures, or and hopefully the Lord meets you in the middle of that as well. So I'm going to start us this week.
Fire away.
I've got a psalm, and it's Psalm 120, which is the beginning of what we call the Psalms of Ascent, which is one of my favorite things in all the scriptures. And it's kind of like an album of songs that the children of Israel would sing when they would go on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem three times every year. These were like their campfire songs.
What if you had to pilgrimage three times a year? Can we just talk about that? That's amazing. It would be so fun.
Yeah, it would be fun. Just
we're all going on a hike together.
Yeah.
Spring, summer, fall, whenever they do.
We're all going to the capital city together for this week-long festival. And then we'll go back at the end of it. And so, they would, camp somewhere at the end of the day. And then they would sing this little album of psalms every single time. And so, Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. This is the first one. Just the first couple of verses here are the things that got me. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. This is like a very, very important kind of like spiritual dynamic for me that I like really, really resonate with these verses, because it's like, this person is saying at the beginning of this psalm, that's at the beginning of this album of songs that we're all going to sing every day. It's kind of like the first thought in this is, in my difficulties, I call on the Lord to do something for me that I'm having a hard time doing for myself, which is I get lied to and I need you to shut the mouths of the liars.
Sure.
And that is such a... That is such an important thing. It's such an important thing for me. It's such an important thing for so many people that I care about, that it's like, it's easier to see in other people than it is to see in myself. But it feels like a lot of the struggles that I have, a lot of the insecurities that I have, a lot of the problems that I'm dealing with are simply because there's a lying voice in my head. A voice that's lying to me about myself, what I'm worth, lying to me, telling me I'm in trouble or that I'm whatever. And all of these things, all of these lies come from just the pit of hell, just from the enemy of my soul, who wants me to be discouraged, who wants me to be down and out. And they all set themselves up like against some promise or some truth of the Lord. And I love that if we're going to have an album of songs that we sing every day while we're making our way to the Lord, the very first thing that happens is, hey, in the middle of my difficulty, I need you to shut the mouths of liars, because I need truth running through my heart. I need truth running through my head. I need to remember who I am. I need to remember that you tell me that I'm your child. I need to remember that you tell me that we are at peace, that we're okay. And whatever voice is telling me the opposite of that, I need it to be shut down. I need it to be shut up. it's such a difficult thing to do by myself. And so I love that where this thing starts is this dude saying, Lord, help me with this. I don't always know what the lying voice is. I don't always know what the lying message is. I need you to shut it down.
That's a good point that you said at the end. Like, you don't always know. Because I do feel like there's something about, like, some people are really good at lying. Wow. It's just a, yeah. I don't know. Like, it's something I used to be really good at, but I'm not anymore. Like, you know, like, I'm not really good at hiding things. Like, right. Especially if it's a bad thing, like, it's pretty, I just carry it not easily. Like, for better or for worse, my roommate is a genius at lying. And it's never anything, you know, it's never, like, detrimental. It's always just the most ridiculous thing. But he's very convincing and he's very good at it. And, like, I can't tell. You know, like, sometimes there are times when I have just completely ignored him when it's been the truth. Like, so since he moved in with me 3 years ago, he has maintained the fact that he is colorblind. And I don't know if he's... I don't know. Because it's one of those things that he would make up just to mess with me.
There has no bearing on anything. It doesn't matter if it's true or if it's not.
Right. But he maintains it, and he actually doesn't call it color blindness. He calls it a color deficiency. He's like, I just don't really know the difference between colors. And I'm like, that's not colorblind. You just didn't learn your colors. But that's a whole, but man, that guy needs to pay attention.
Wow.
Oh, look at that dog. But there's other little things that he'll do like that, that I just like, it makes it hard for me to know if he's telling the truth.
Right.
And my point is, like, he is so good at it. Like, whether it's a big deal or a little deal or whatever, it's just hard to tell. And, like, I feel like, I mean, Satan's a freaking genius at telling lies.
Yeah, you know? What, like, the Lord said, when he lies, he's speaking his native language.
Right, yeah. I mean, there's not a hiccup in it. Like, when I go to Spain, and, like, when we went to Spain,
yeah,
I was, like, at the peak of my Spanish-speaking abilities after a week of being there, like, just remembered everything. I'd been speaking it, and still everyone there could tell that I was an American. You know, like, no matter how good I thought I was at the language I was speaking, they could tell. But, like, when I'm in Tennessee, I fit in perfectly. Like, Satan doesn't, you know, it's not a foreign language to him. It's so crystal clear, and, like, there's not a hiccup in it. He doesn't stumble over words. He doesn't, you know, misuse his vernacular. He doesn't, like, use the past tense when it should be present or whatever it is. Like, he doesn't mess up the word haber like we all do. Like, it's just, like, he's so stinking good at it, and it's crystal clear. It's just, if the Lord's not helping you, you would have no chance.
Yeah, it's such an interesting thing that we start here. Like, if we have with this series of songs, that the place I need to start is, like, man, there is a force in my life that constantly wants me to be discouraged, constantly wants me to be down, and is lying to me about the truth about myself, everything that is good that's coming, everything that is good that's true. And I just, like, Lord, I just need you to help me remember who I am. I need you to help me remember that you love me. I need you to help me remember that we're at peace and that we're okay. And every voice in my head that wants me to be down, wants to take me off my square and out of my game, shut them up.
Yeah.
And this psalm goes on to say, like, it says, like, the Lord will punish you with the warrior's sharp arrows and with the burning coals of the broom tree, like these lying voices and the deceitful tongue. And I'm like, yes, Lord, get him. Like, get that deceitful tongue. Get rid of him. And that's coming one day, finally and totally. But even in the meantime, it's like, I need you to get to silence the lies, and I need you to help me recognize when I'm being lied to so that I can keep myself encouraged.
Yeah. Before we go any further, I need to clarify that Devin is a very trustworthy person.
He's a good dude.
He's a very good dude. He's not like a manipulative liar who is doing
he's just very good at silly lies.
He likes to mess with me. And I would consider myself not super gullible, but the dude is good at what he does.
Thomas wants to wants to take us to Proverbs 2.
So Lee is going to read it because I'm driving my car right now.
He's driving his car into butterflies as we speak.
They're crossing the road at an alarming rate. I just need them to
down here. Wow, another one just came. Down here in Marlow, it's like butterfly central.
There's daisies on the side of the road. It's beautiful. I mean, if you're a butterfly, gorgeous. That's where you'd want to be.
Proverbs 2. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God.
Okay, first of all, when I read this, the first thing that got me was the my son thing, just because, whatever, it just does something in a 25-year-old man to hear to be called your son or whatever. And I don't know who specifically the Proverbs were written to, or whatever, but it does do something to me. But the thing that really got me, and I guess it's like it's following the heels of what we talked about last week with the searching for treasure and whatever, but
yeah,
it was the calling out and the crying out part.
Yeah.
And the searching for and the looking for like silver, just like there's like four lines right there in the middle of that whole thing where they start with call out, cry out, look for, search for, or whatever it was.
Right.
And they're all like very active, very
intentional
things. And like, there's this thing in me where like we were kind of talking about this in our Bible study that we lead of high schoolers, together on Sunday nights. And we talked about this past Sunday, but like, I'm someone who, and your wife brought this up, but I'm someone who like, who likes to journal and like likes to write out my prayers. But I have realized in my life, and she reminded me of this, which is really cool, that that's like a really cool hillside right there, by mm-hmm. the way. Super cool. You see it when you go into my parents' neighborhood. But I'm someone who likes to write out my prayers. But anytime I've had a time where I call out or cry out to the Lord, it's a different thing. Like it just, I don't know. It feels good. It feels like it's what I'm supposed to do. It feels like, I don't know. It feels like where I need to be at times. When I go on a walk or when I'm like, this is just kind of my place. But like when I'm in the shower, I take three a day. So like, it's just like a good time for me to be alone. Or like when I'm in the car by myself to like call out or to cry out for the Lord, It's like it just caught my eye because it made my wheels turn and started thinking like who, like of all the interactions Jesus has in the Gospels, how many of those people either called out, cried out for him, just sought him, or like did something that almost seemed desperate, you know, like,
yeah, desperation was the word I was thinking about.
Yeah. Too. Just how many people were just desperate for him? And I had some like initial things that popped in my head, and then I was like, I'm just gonna look through the book of Mark really quick while I do this. And it was like, it's kind of alarming. You know, it was like, there was a guy in Mark chapter 7 who like called out for him. There was a blind man, I guess it's Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 8, who like calls out for him. And like Mark chapter 10, when the rich young ruler just like falls down at Jesus.
Yeah.
There's just like so many like desperate.
Yeah. There's this Syrophoenician woman who just cries out, you know,
all of them are like examples of like desperation and pleading and like crying and screaming or like falling on the ground or like all these like big, bold acts of doing something. And like I don't think there's anything wrong with the way I write out my prayers, but there's something different. I don't know what it is when I am at a place worth like crying out or calling for something, or because it's just, yeah, it's you at your neediest, kind of, you know, like it's me at my neediest when I'm finally at that place. It's just I don't know. It's like he wants me there. I don't know. I don't know if anything's different from it, but no, it does seem like a good thing.
Absolutely. I love that thing. And sometimes it's like you're driven there by circumstances, but I like the idea of like pushing myself there.
Sure.
You know, I remember not this spring, but last spring we went to, you know, a bunch of us go kind of on a baseball pilgrimage every year. And the to see the Cardinals play somebody, and we were watching the Cardinals play the Dodgers and last year, and the Cardinals had just acquired this like super young outfielder named Harrison Bader, and we were out there near the near the outfield, and Thomas told me, he was like, I'm gonna go talk to this kid and get a baseball. And so, do you remember this? That you like went to the...
Vaguely.
You like went to like right there in the seats near where Harrison Bader was, and you're just like calling his name. You like looked him up and everything to get his first name right and everything. You're calling out to him, trying to get a ball, and he like, at one point, he like actually turned and looked at you and then didn't give you a ball. And you were like, I'm out on this dude. And like, he played so hard and he played such a good game. And every time he would do something good, you were like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm out on this guy.
Dead to me. Give the brother a ball.
And yeah, but there's just this thing of like if I, like, I want to call out to you and I want to do it on purpose. I want to, like, even if I'm not in a circumstance of desperation, there's something I want for my life that I might not have right now. Maybe it's joy. Maybe it's peace. Maybe it's just like,
maybe it's an actual, you know, I said actual thing. Those are actual things, but maybe it's something more tangible and like, maybe it's a physically existing thing. Sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. But like, honestly, like to push myself to a place of desperation, to take myself to the Lord in that attitude on purpose, because I love the way you said this a second ago, that he wants me there. Mm. There's kind of an acknowledgement. And I think both of the scriptures that we're looking at, like with the one about the save me from lying lips and from deceitful tongues, it's like, you're going to have to do this for me. I can't do this for myself. And then for this person just searching for wisdom and knowledge from God, it's like, I don't have any myself. You're going to have to do this for me. Mm-hmm. I think the Lord does want us there.
Yeah. And it's pretty clear too. There's a couple of places, in the Gospels where Jesus is asked about how to pray. And I mean, that's how he describes it. He talks about a neighbor, who has some like friends coming to town late at night or whatever. So he goes over to his neighbor's house and just starts beating on the door. He's like, hey, I need bread to feed these people. And they're like, go away. It's like midnight. We're asleep. And he just keeps beating and beating and beating and beating. And finally they just give him the bread. You know, like there's another place where, it's the persistent widow. And it's the way he describes the way we should pray. And I am someone who is typically the opposite and is like, I always give the Lord like little caveats or like off ramps, like, hey, help me here, but thy will be done. Or like, you know, like, which Jesus, you know, Jesus says that too, but also like, you know, I feel like he wants us to just keep bugging the crap out of him. And it doesn't mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to talk about this because it can be easily taken as Thomas is saying, the Lord's going to give you exactly what you want all the time. And that's not really the case.
Sure.
But he does ask you to keep asking, and he does ask you to like call out for him and to cry out for him. I think about the thief on the cross and like at the end of Luke, and there's no way that guy, you know, he's in his last breaths. Like he had to be gasping when he was asking Jesus to remember him, you know, just like something about the desperation and the pleading and longing for whatever it is you're asking, the crying out, the calling out, as it says in Proverbs, the searching for, it just seems like the right thing to do. And it feels weird at first. Like it feels weird to do it physically, I think, until you do it a lot and then it becomes a normal thing. And I feel like it's where the Lord wants me to be at in prayer.
Weren't you telling me recently that there was like, there's like a certain golf tournament where like, maybe Reza was telling me that like everybody's like more chill and laid back and not quiet like they normally are at things, but they like yell from the side, whatever. Yes.
Yeah. It's in Phoenix. They have like, they've literally built a stadium around the hole.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, this is an exaggeration, but it is like, it seems like no one's sober by the end of the day. It's just like, that's what people go there specifically to just go and like, the fans, the players know it's going to happen. Otherwise, golf is a sport that is very
buttoned down.
You
need
to be quiet. Like, if you go to the Masters, you're not allowed to bring your phone in. You know, like, you get kicked out if you're a little bit out of turn or whatever.
Just this idea of like, I go through my normal day kind of like, and maybe my stance with the Lord is usually like button down, quiet, have a good attitude about everything, whatever it is. But then like there's this one, you know, golf tournament where everybody's going to be screaming as if it's like a soccer game in Europe, you know, right, just going off, or like a rock concert. And it's like, I want to have that kind of fervor in prayer. Mm. I want the Lord to help me with the lies I'm believing. I want the Lord to give me wisdom and direction. I want to be led, and I want to go after it with that kind of boldness.
Right.
Cool.
Agreed.
Well, today's podcast has been brought to you by the Paul McCartney, Michael Jackson classic, Ebony and Ivory.
Sheesh. I don't think I could sing that song if it came on right now. I'll say that. And I'm like the biggest Paul McCartney fan, you know.
Whoa, you're sitting right beside me.
Same. I am.
Wow. I feel like we're going to have to arm wrestle.
No, I'm not going to.
Oh, dude, you know what? That does make me think of when we were talking about like classic kind of 80s, like Kurt Russell and Sylvester Stallone and stuff like that, and John Rambo. It did make me think about the classic Sylvester Stallone movie, Over the Top. Have you ever seen that one?
No.
Oh, gosh. We got to catch you up on some 80s and 90s movies, man. Over the Top is an incredible story about a child custody battle where they decide things with arm wrestling.
What was going on with 80s cinema? Oh my word. Guys, that made money?
Dude, people text Thomas immediately. Over the Top is a classic.
Well, maybe you just described it poorly, but there's no part of me that wants to watch that movie. I feel like, listen, I mean, Back to the Future is arguably my favorite movie of all time.
And it's a fantastic movie.
But, like, so far the other two 80s movies that you've described in this...
Dude, Over the Top is a classic. I'm a huge Sylvester Stallone fan, just because you don't like him.
I like Sylvester Stallone. I like it when he punches people in the face.
We're going to end today's episode with our friend Ben Bannister singing a song that I actually wrote with my friend Matt King called The Love I Need. So... until next time, I'm Lee
Thomas,
and this has been Ancient and New.
I need a love that will not leave me empty. I need a love I can't let down. A different kind of love that doesn't want to use me. A love that just wants me around. Love
Oh my word.
Well, Thomas and I are going to be doing some.
What if they listen?
We're on our way to do some yard work today, and doing yard work with Thomas is so much fun because he digs it so much. But also, like, we have a history of like working on my house together. Like when I was selling my last house, Thomas, the high schooler, came over and helped me get the house ready, and you're already shaking your head because one of the jobs that we had to do to get the house ready was we wanted to repaint the front porch. So like I was like, all right, Thomas, can you finish this up while I go get on to another job? And so Thomas is repainting the front porch.
Oh, I just hit a butterfly. Oh, I just watched it drop in my mirror.
Oh no.
That's so sad.
Thomas is done for the rest of the day.
I can't recover from that. They're flying everywhere. Y'all need to chill out for 2 seconds. No, I had to scrape the paint off first before I could paint it.
Okay.
So the old paint. So that's what happened.
That was your job. And so part of scraping the paint off was that he signed his name, Thomas Hunter Cox, into the old paint of the porch, so that when we put on, that's what it was, so then when we put the new layer of paint on there, the new layer of paint just settled perfectly into the signature Thomas Hunter Cox.
I did not think that would happen.
And I'm trying to sell this house and this man has signed it.
In my undeveloped brain as a 14-year-old, it was not possible to me. I just thought it would, you know, I thought you'd paint over it. It's just like a it's clean. I don't know.
Welcome.
Someone back me up here. Looking in my back seat. Friends. No one's here.